There you go. All right. This is a good day for it. After my little lesson I got this week, and it's like, let's never lose that part of us. It's good for us. Okay. We'll be working from three different passages in the book of John and tying them together. Because to bring this message, the title of this message, it's all about Jesus, and we want to bring it together and focus. And it sounds, this is more of going back to basics and reminding us not to get away from it. Don't forget the basics, because there's basic rules you have to remember in everything you do, and you know, whether it's you're out golfing, fishing, hunting, whatever it is. If you're flying your airplane and your private jet that we don't know about, but if you're doing that, whatever it is, there's basic rules. And when you forget the basics, all the advanced stuff won't mean anything if you ever forget the basics, will it? If you don't remember to put your flaps down, you're going to have a real problem, either taking off or landing. It's just, I learned that, you know, just with working with pilots and all. There's certain basic things, and you go over a checklist. Friends, Christians in our lives, we need to go back and go over a checklist and say, am I staying with the basics, or have I gotten carried away with some stuff here? Am I forgetting? In other words, an Old Testament passage, don't forget the rock from which you were hewn. Don't forget where you came from. I had I'll try to put this in general terms, but an individual that, long way off now, but used to work closely with pastors and help them with their, a lot of things in their lives, finances and this kind of stuff, but they got a big promotion with a company. And all of a sudden, all of us guys are asking for help. Would you help us with this and that and all? It's like, I'm too busy. I've got to supervise all this group of people and this and that, and I just can't do it. You have to go somewhere else. And the thing that God brought to my mind was, Tony, I know this bothers you. I got a little upset at first. And then it was like, Tony, this is a lesson. See, everything is for us to learn. Don't you ever do this, no matter where God takes you. If somebody would walk up and win the lottery or whatever, or I won the lottery and had all this money, don't you ever forget where you've come from. And so this person gets promotion, and I thought, yes, but you can still make time. And they were once one of us. And they used to tell this story of, I was once one of you guys, and I know what it's like. You need somebody to help you with your stuff. And then, I'm too busy. Friends, don't ever forget where you've come from. Don't ever get too busy to do God's work, because it'll come back, and I've seen it too many times, and it'll bite you, won't it? It will bite you deep. And so I thought, that was the first thing I thought about this person. It's like, you've forgotten where you've come from. Oh, now you've got this big promotion, and you got all these. Oh, but that never exempts us from doing those humble, basic things we need to do. So back to John, and we're going to start with John 3:16, and we say, oh, I know that one, y'all. Wonderful. That's good. You're going to hear it again. And you're going to hear John 8 and John 14. And we're going to tie these together, and there's just three points. Aren't you glad? There's not 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 3 points. This is like the old traditional messages they used to teach us in seminary. They really did this. They said, your best messages have 3 points in a poem. And back in those days, poetry, you always wanted to try to end a message, 3 points in a poem. And I thought, where did they ever get that? And then it was based on, you know, people can only remember 3 things. And I thought, well, good Lord, I hope that's not true. We'll never get out of the parking lot. So, really, truthfully, so it's all about Jesus Christ. I'm going to read these passages, jump in, and just hit them, dissect them, and give you the application points. of what this means, how to deal with it, so you can use it in your life every day. So here we go. John 3:16 says, these familiars, these are basics. For God so loved the world, this is a New International Version. By the way, I've been asked, and so I hit this every once in a while. I'll hit it again. I meant to do that, so let me stop myself and say this. I tell people the New International is your probably your better, closest to the translation of your modern translations. If you're wanting to really study, and you need just as close as you can get, go to the New King James. But I use the New International because it reads easily, and still it's pretty conservative. The New King James Version, NKJV, is better if you're going to do some serious Bible study. So there. But for general work and reading and understanding, it's just a New International Version. When they brought this translation, there's some things I think that they didn't take the most conservative approach on. So just know that. But I recommend it. I use it a lot. But for if you want to really study, New King James. And it's in a little more modern English, but it's about the closest you're going to get. So enough said, because I've been asked some questions, and I'll just address it here and we'll move on. So this is New International. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We usually read that one. We don't read the next verse, and it's important. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Read the rest of this. I don't have the time up here, but please read the rest of this. And just read John 3. And read that last part. It's important about he who does not believe and they're condemned. He says, if you don't believe, you're condemned. And so when anybody comes to you and says, well, I'm trying to live a good life and I go to church and I give and all that, well, have you asked Jesus in your heart? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Because that's how you have eternal life. Well, it's like if you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ to repent of your sins, friends, you're condemned. And who condemns you? God? No, you condemn yourself. So just keep it in mind. You know, God is not out here condemning. He doesn't have to. We condemn ourselves by our lack of faith. So just keep that in mind. And so you read the rest of it. Now, let's read John 8 and verses 31 through 32. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. So now tie this together. He said, here's how you're saved. Here's how you have eternal life in John 3:16 and 17. Now he says, this is how you're free. This is how to stay free from being encumbered with all the things you had in your life before you were saved. Not to let them come back. How to keep them out of your life. And if they try to come back, or they do come back, here's a way to deal with it. And then we want to read John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's it. So when, I hear people today, and it's unbelievable. I'm thinking, you don't get these basic passages? Because I'll ask them, and they think that they're going to go to heaven because they go to so-and-so's church who's on TV every Sunday or all during the week or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but I go to their church. So you think because you're going to a certain church, you're going to heaven? You think because you're under a certain person, they're going to heaven? How do you even know they're going to heaven? God tells us not to judge other people, and certainly in that respect, but by their fruits you'll know them. We can judge by fruits, but we can't judge a person to heaven or hell. We can stay away from it. That's God's business. But I can sure judge whether they're bearing fruit or not and stay away from them. The whole point is this. How many people think because they're part of a certain religious sect, cult, or denomination, that that's all they need? Oh, I'm this. I'm one of the chosen. Well, that's not what I read in this book. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? No one comes to the Father except through him. Does that clear it up? That's it, right? That's the Word of God. So take all these three things, and let's talk about the first point. And it's all about God's love in Jesus Christ. So let's make this point. What he didn't come to do. It's all about God's love in Jesus Christ. And what is the scripture? What do we just read? And what do we learn from him? He did not come to judge. So if you're feeling judged in your life, where's that coming from? Now, Romans 8:1, which I didn't put in here, but you can just jot it down and look for it yourself, says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So he didn't come to condemn. If he didn't come to judge, then he's not going to condemn, because those go together. So it says he didn't come into the world to judge it, but to save it. So if you feel judged, and let me ask you this, a lot of Christians feel guilty. All the time they feel guilty. They won't admit it, but they feel guilty. Why are you going around feeling guilty over something that you've confessed 400 times? And we do. We'll just be going along, driving, doing whatever it is when our mind kind of relaxes, and suddenly this stuff from our past comes into our head and we start feeling guilty all over again. Why are you doing that? God says he's taken your sins and cast them in the depths of the sea and removed them from you as far as the east is from the west. Well, why in the world are you going down there trying to dig it up? God's buried it, and you're going back in the graveyard and digging up old bones. That's what you're doing. And that's smelly. That's not pleasant. But we do that. That's why sometimes in our heart, our soul, we just feel like we're kind of smelly, stinky before the Lord. I guess so. You're playing with old bones. If you've confessed it, let it go. Besides, if God says, doesn't he say this? He remembers our sins, iniquities no more. Why do I want to remind him? Why do I want to bring it back up? Let it go. You say, well, you don't know, but I had an affair, but I had an abortion. Or I helped somebody have this. Or I gave money to this horrible cause. Or I left my husband, I left my wife. Or this happened, or that happened, or that happened. And God says, did you confess it to me? Yes, I have, Lord, about 15 times, 20 times. Really, don't we? 50 times. How many times do we have to confess it? And as you know, we confess it. And then what does the scripture say? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Do you believe God does what he says? He said, I didn't come here to condemn you. As a matter of fact, you know what God expects you to do? Fail. He expects you to believe and put your faith in him who never fails. But he expects you and me to fail. He knows we'll fail. You with me? That's not a license to go mess up. When he created you, he knew you'd mess up. Well, he created Adam and Eve. And what did he expect them to do? Really? Fail. He expects us to fail. He doesn't want us to. He knows we're going to. So that's the way I'm using expects. He knows what's just going to happen. He knows everything. So if he knows I'm going to fail, but he loves me anyway, and Jesus came in the world not to judge it, but to save it, he came to do that for people who fail. Don't we fail him all the time? Did you get here this morning without failing him in some way? Yeah, we do. Somebody do something to you on the freeway? Go, yeah, oh, see, that one too. Just go shopping this afternoon. Stop anywhere in these crowded stores and see if you don't get flustered. You're going to fail. You'll say something, do something. God knows that, and he made provision through the blood of Jesus. Never will I bring a message that's a license to sin. I bring a message to say we're going to sin, but we have redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we run the race, and we reach for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Never set out to sin. Just know that in the process of wanting to do righteousness, there's an enemy out there who's after us every step of the way. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, when he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You ever wondered what that phrase, lead us not into temptation? You ever wonder why you're supposed to pray that? Does God lead people into temptation? Do you know what the real translation of that is? Lord, don't let me be tempted. You ever prayed that? Lead us not into temptation. Well, they understood that then, but in the Greek. But what for us, it's Lord, don't let me be tempted. Because I'm too weak. What is it for you? You cuss too easily? You get angry too easily?
You throw a fit? Do you lust too easy? Don't let me be tempted. What is it? And so he said, pray to God, lead us not into temptation. Well, God's not going to lead you into temptation. Well, so what did it literally mean? God, don't let me be tempted today. Because I know the devil knows what areas I'm weak in, and I'll surely fall. Then that's why he says, don't let us be tempted. Lead us not into temptation, but do what? Deliver us from evil. And if some translations will read the evil one, and actually it can mean either one. Deliver us from evil, deliver us from the evil one. How does he do that? Don't let me be tempted. God, don't let it happen today. Don't let me see that certain billboard. Don't let that thing come up on my phone. Don't let that certain person that I don't like, do this, or that person I like too much send something. You know what I'm saying. Don't let me be tempted, but deliver me from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. So God didn't come to judge. He didn't come to condemn, and he did not come to make us feel guilty. If you're feeling guilty over something you haven't confessed, then that's a good thing. That's conviction, so confess it. But once you've confessed it, quit carrying the guilt. Let it go. It's what matters today, what you do today, who you are today, what decision you make in this room. And that decision should be, God, I'm bringing my stuff to you. I'm laying it at your feet. I'm putting it at the foot of the cross. I'm walking away from it. Now, I've confessed this 27 times. I'm done with it because you're done with it. I'm free. You know, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and truth will set you free. Well, get free. We're going to talk about that in a moment. He didn't come to make you feel guilty, and he did not come to make you fulfill the law. You can't keep the law. The reason Jesus came was because we couldn't be saved by the law. So why are you so blasted legalistic? How many Christians do you know, and it might be yourself, that's extremely legalistic about things? You see, what does that mean? Well, I think the Lord's Supper ought to be done this way. And I think Christians ought to dress this way, and ought to cut their hair this way. Why, you old legalistic Pharisee? You know, who gave you the right to tell somebody else what they ought to do? We don't even know how to do ourselves, do we? I saw a little movie, by the way, and it was cute, and it caught my attention. So I had to get this and record this thing. It was called Lonesome Dove Church. Anybody ever seen it? Anybody? Oh, okay. Well, Tom Berenger stars in this movie. And I didn't realize, and I should have, I told my sister about it. She went, of course. I said, is there a Lonesome Dove Church in Grapevine, Texas? Of course. You didn't know that? It's like, don't you love sisters? If I knew that, would I have asked you in the first place? But it's a movie about this old frontier circuit riding preacher who has a son that's wayward, and he's trying to bring his son back to the Lord, and his wife leaves him. It's just, and he goes through all of these trials and struggles, but he won't quit serving the Lord. And it's a Western movie. And he's finally led it through something his son says, why don't you go to Grapevine, Texas? And there's lots of game there, lots of good water and all this stuff. And this is back in 1846, somewhere in there. You need to see the movie and let it speak to you of the trials and tribulations of Christians. And just watching that was an inspiration to me. And he has to get pretty rough before it's done. But I won't tell you anymore, but that church, and my sister looked it up for me, that church is still there. It's in the South Lake Grapevine, which kind of grew together. It's still there. It's still Lonesome Dove Baptist Church now, and it's been there since 1846. How about that, huh? And watch, the movie's been showing, and I don't get all the big movie channels, but it's been showing on one of the little puny ones I get. But it's like, I caught a piece of it and had to record. I thought, and it touched my heart. Say, Tony, you see the trials and tribulations, and the man wouldn't give up. He wouldn't quit. He wouldn't let his past
or his wayward son, or anything, even his wife leaving him over the ministry and loving that son and trying to get him back. He was alone, but he was never alone. Anyway, does it see what I'm saying? God is not here to hurt you, and you'll feel alone at times. You'll be just like that. But keep going on your mission and do what God told you to do, because he's not here to judge you. He's not condemning you. He's not here to make you feel guilty. You don't have to fulfill the law. And don't let people put legalistic things on you. You know, I'll tell you one little scene, because I don't want to steal the movie from you. But there's one little scene when they start their church, and one of the ladies that's not a good reputation in town walks in the church. And one of the self-righteous Pharisee type stands up and says, "You're going to let this hoe in this church? If you are, you know, I'm leaving." And he said, "Did you see the pastor?" He says, "Did you see what's on our sign outside? Anyone may come. Whosoever will may come." And then that guy walked out. But I thought, Tony, oh, thank God. God speaks to me like that. Listen. Whether you've been that, or you've had a perverted lifestyle, or you've visited people like that, or whatever it is, if you've confessed your sins before the Lord, God forgives you that, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from every sin, and you can walk right into, you should be, and you can sure in this one, walk right in here, sit down at the table, and say, "I was that. You know, I was lost, but now I'm found." Right? Now I'm saved. God, thank you, Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Let it go. God is not looking at what you were. He's looking at what you are now. So are we. It's powerful stuff. And that this is Christianity. This is the basics. Don't forget it. And don't put legalism on other people. Well, you need to do this. And you're going to have to demonstrate this. And on and on and on and on. Oh, everybody, get over it. Let people grow in the Lord. Everything is about Jesus. It's all about the love of God in Christ Jesus. Everything in our life. Listen to this. Everything in our life is about Jesus. And if there's anything in your life that does not or cannot bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ in some way, then you need to get before God and let it go. Is there anything in your life that's really not bringing honor and glory to him in some way? If it's just all selfish, sinful, you know, stubborn, disobedient stuff, then when are you going to turn it loose? Because that is an impediment to your growth in Christ. It doesn't have to be a great big thing. It can be a small thing. What is it that you're stubbornly clinging to? I know there's no stubborn, hard-headed people. I say that a lot. But you know some that are, don't you? I didn't mean to look at you. I looked right. Why did I do that? But anyway, he's a gentle, easygoing feller. He doesn't have a stubborn bone in his body, does he? Forgive me for lying. But sometimes, and I've caught myself doing this, being stubborn for the sake of being stubborn. You ever kind of just laugh at yourself because you're so dang stubborn and you know it and there's no call for it? Let me tell you what Jesus did come to do. He did come because God loves you. You hear all this stuff of why Jesus came. He came to save everybody. He came to do this and that. Do you know why he came? Because Father God loves you so much that he sent Jesus. And then all the other stuff flows from it. To save you, to heal you, to give you eternal life. But why did Jesus come to this earth? Because God so loved you, he gave him for you. Don't forget that. That's the basic stuff we let get away from us. Secondly, it's all about Jesus Christ, his Savior. Jesus is the way, and he's the truth, and he's the light. He's the life. I've come to give you life and do what? Give it in abundance. He's your Redeemer. What does he say about redemption? You know, God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You read that, you know, you might not have gotten all of that, but that's over in Colossians, but you read that. God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. That's what he's done for you. Whether you have a prostitute background, or you've got a lying background, or stealing background, a cheating background, whether you've done this, done that, God says when you ask Jesus in your heart, you've repented of these sins, he forgives you, and he's coming to give you life and give it in abundance. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but the life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. That's exciting stuff. Don't you let anybody with their legalism and put you back in the past and say, oh, don't you tell me what kind of Christian you are. I know your life. So does God. And I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And he doesn't remember that anymore, so just get over it. And sit down here and let me tell you how I got from there to here. And that's your testimony. Tell them your story. They'll most likely walk away. I'll guarantee you one thing, they'll never come and attack you again because they know you're going to preach at them. Now I say preach, you're going to witness to them. Jesus is the way and he's the truth and he's the light. He is the light of the world. He came into the world to be your light. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the salt of the earth, but he's the light of the world. He's the light for your path. And by the way, when you walk the path of Christ, the straight and narrow path, I was told some of the wrong stuff when I was first saved. People didn't mean to, but it's like, oh, you just ask Jesus in your heart. One of the things that told me, I was 17 years old, one of the things that told me was, you ask Jesus in your heart, he'll forgive your sin, and then life's going to be all right. It's just going to be great. No, it hasn't been. There's been great moments, but it hasn't. Jesus Christ is great. Being a Christian is great. Life has not been that great all the time. Is yours? That wasn't the truth. They needed to tell me it's a straight and narrow path, but on that straight and narrow path, there are things that will try to lead you off that path in a moment. Just take your eyes off of it, because I found out one thing on this path of life. Jesus gives me the light to take another step and another step, but the whole thing's not light until I take that step. Is everybody with me? It's not like he's put heavenly floodlights on the straight and narrow path so you can't go off. It's as I walk in faith, I see more light, I see more light, and I get closer to the end, I see a great light. But a lot of times, it's dark around me, and it's tough, and I'm hearing things in the dark. And there are demonic beings out there, there's powers and principalities, the scripture says, and they're trying to lead me to misstep and get off the path. Anybody agree with that? Amen. How easy it is to walk off that path. If you want to really get a bird's eye view, listen, I'm going to recommend this book to you. Get John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Anybody read it? Thank you. Good, good. And get it in a modern translation. I have a hardback, hardcover, and it's in the English Standard Version. The reason why, I just couldn't handle the old English. I can't follow it. But read Pilgrim's Progress and get a modern version of it. You won't regret it. Excuse me. I believe it was Charles Spurgeon, several of these great authors, devotionals and so on, write all these things. And they said that, I think it was Spurgeon said he read Pilgrim's Progress every year. That's part of his outside reading. It's the story of Pilgrim on his walk to heaven and all the things a Christian goes through and the temptations that'll get you. And it's done in ways that you'll like it. I can't remain on it. Time's running short. We got to get this. But he's your way, the truth, and the life. He's your light. He's your life. He's your redeemer. He's your deliverer. How many times God delivers you from the dominion of darkness and translates you, puts you in the kingdom of the Son of His love. But how many times has God delivered you after that? How many times has God delivered you from the hands of the devil? How many times has God delivered you when you were sinking in the mire, the muck of this life, when you were salt, going right back into sin, and there was the hand of the living God pulling you out again through Jesus Christ? How many times has His angel stood between you and disaster? How many times have you seen one of those cars coming right at you, or a semi rolling right in your lane, and you don't know how you got out of it? But you know, if you just look in the eyes of the Lord, in the eye, you know, the heart, the spirit of your mind, you will see those angels saying, "You didn't get out of it. We got you out of it." And He's delivered us time and time and time again. How many things should have taken you out, and you're still here? Because God's not through with you yet. God started an act of redemption through Jesus Christ. That's your salvation. But man, He's redeeming me, and then He's delivering. He delivered me from hell, and He delivers me from the things of hell every day of my life. He delivers me from the demons of hell every moment of my life. He's there. He's always there. He's always, He never leaves or forsakes us. He's fighting for us. You just don't know. This morning, right up here, if you could really see with the spiritual eyes of the Lord, this message is being brought in the power of the Holy Spirit, but there's a mighty angel of God up here protecting me. If He wasn't, I couldn't do it. I'd get hurt. I'd go down. This is a spiritual warfare. Anytime a man or woman of God stands up to bring the word of God, I'm telling you, the demons of hell are fighting them. That's why I go out of here exhausted every Sunday. It's a spiritual warfare. If you've ever gotten up here to bring this word, you know. You brought this word. It's a different world just stepping from here to here. And you start this and you feel it. And the power of God overcomes it. But I know there's a warring angel right there behind me. And I trust it. And I know God's Spirit is here. And I know the blood of Jesus is covering me and protecting me this morning. As He's covering you. And listen, I'm this stuff is real. People have asked me, they said, "Tony, you seem so tired after church and you're hungry." I'm starving after church. Sometimes you've pitched crackers at me and stuff because y'all seen this. And if I don't get something pretty quick, I just get almost sick because of the battle, and it's draining. Just bringing this word and overcoming the right now, just, you know, just bringing this word. The devil tries to throw down, say, "Oh, you can't live up to this stuff. You can't." He tries to work on you. And I'm thinking, I can't. That's why it's Jesus, all about Jesus, but He can. I can't do it, but He can. And when you're faced with these temptations and struggles and trials, you say that right out loud. I can't do it, but Jesus can. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to win this thing. This battle isn't over. I don't care how bad it looks. It's not over. I have to finish. And I'm fired up. Let's calm down. Well, let's look at this third point real quick. And we're out of here. Just remember, it's all about God's love in Christ Jesus. It's all about Christ as Savior. And then it's all about Jesus Christ setting you free. Now, there's something you got to catch in this, in that setting you free. John 8:32. Well, you need to start with 8:31. See, you hear that quote, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Did you know that's not the truth? Read verse 31. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That is a proof text verse. Proof texting means I pull a verse out that I want to prove something with and misuse it. Verse 31 and 32 go together because he says, if you continue in my word, if you keep reading my word, if you keep meditating on it, you keep growing, that makes you my disciple. And as that, I will reveal the truth. You will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. So you stay in the word and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And whom Jesus sets free is free indeed. So listen to this. He came to set you free from sin, from darkness, from guilt, from condemnation, from all your faults, frailties, failures, and hang-ups. Boy, that's a lot, isn't it? Now, I know that some of you don't have hang-ups, but you could point to another person in your life and tell us what they are. Everyone here has hang-up, don't we? Are you hung up on something? Where did you hang up on your hang-up? You ever thought about it? A whole lot of people got hung up in their teen years, early 20s, in their 30s. You had a bad experience in a marriage, or this happened, or that happened, and you're hung up there. You never get past it. And Jesus Christ came to set you free from sin and hell and all this, but he came to free you from yourself and get you out of your hang-ups. What are your hang-ups? Give them to him. Quit being stuck on a stump. I was watching Jack Reacher. That's not a Christian movie. But he takes this girl's car and he's driving it backwards because they're shooting at him. But he doesn't see this big rock, this big stump, and he runs the car up on it. And it's just stuck there. I'm not recommending Jack Reacher as a Christian movie. But I picked these scenes out. Listen, if you want to know how your pastor relaxes, I like to watch a good shoot 'em up. It just gives me peace. I just relax so much. It's that somebody's doing on the screen what I want to do and can't do in my own personal life. It's like, hit them again. Anyway, he's flying in her car. They're shooting it full of holes. She doesn't know he has her car, by the way. That's another shock in the movie. You know, but he runs it up on the stump, the rock, whatever it is, and it's just spinning, so he has to get out of this thing. That's in that, I get these visuals. See, that's where God was saying, see, Tony, that's where so many of my people are. They ran their spiritual, emotional lives onto a stump, a rock. And they're just spinning their wheels. And I will lift them off of that and get them back on the road. But they've got to come to me and humble themselves and say, God, I'm stuck. I'm hung up. And I've been there ever since I ran this thing up on it whenever this happened in my life. And I can't get off. Please get me out of this pit. And he will. Deliverance comes from the Lord. There's power in this, folks. God's Spirit is working. There's power in this. He was working on me, writing these notes. When he was giving this to me, there's power in this. This isn't for me. I'm only a vessel. This is God speaking to all of us. And Let me wrap it. There's so much, a lot here you're not going to get. I just don't have the time. Let's get what you can. Jesus came to say, look, if you feel that you're overwhelmed, if your sins and burdens are too much to you, and then these words he gave to all of us, come to me. All you who are burdened and heavy laden, and now you what? Found rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy. What? And you'll find rest for your souls, right? And that's what he's saying to do. You'll never do it yourself. Take my yoke. Put yourself in tune with me. Accept me into your heart and trust me. He came to say, if you're afraid of death, failure, turn it over to me. If you're afraid you're going to sin again, turn it over to me. But listen, friends, there's a couple of other things that people are afraid of, and I just kind of made note of it. There's two things I find people afraid of that they won't admit. Some people are afraid of life. They'd rather die than live in the freedom that Christ offers. Because they don't want to let go of whatever their burden is, because they don't know who they'd be without it. Who are you without whatever it is that you're hung up on? Are you willing to find out? And let me give you the other thing that people fear. Love. Loving and being loved. And that's why we keep these little walls around us. And we keep people pushed back. And by the time they get real close to us, we sabotage the whole thing, the friendship, the relationship. We push them back. You know why? because we've been hurt before and we're afraid of love. But when we're afraid of love, we're afraid that God's love is not good enough for us. And God loves us through His Spirit, His Word, but He loves us through the touch of people. Excuse me. Got a little allergy thing, been going all week. Cedar's high out there where I'm at. But the love, you're afraid of love. I see people, and how many people you know sabotage their lives? They push people away at the last minute. They'll say or do something to hurt their feelings or whatever it is and put them off because they're afraid. They say, love hurt me. No, love didn't hurt you. Somebody that misused love hurt you. But God, don't quit loving and receiving love. The love of God in Christ Jesus. Don't you trust Him? Let Him get you off of that stuff that you're stuck on. And learn to live. Why are you afraid to live? Why do you need your pain? Why do you need that thing that happened in your life as a crutch to lean on, to say to God as an excuse, well, then you know what happened to me. I was molested or whatever it was, and I just can't be like other people. And God is saying, no, you can be greater than the average person because your greatest asset, your greatest weakness, your greatest pain, I'll turn into your greatest strength to help other people and glorify His name. God will take what's happened and turn it around and use you to help those others that it's happened to. Turn to me, trust me, believe in me. Because Jesus' love is enough. His life is enough. I've come to give you life and give it in abundance. I love you so much. I gave my only begotten Son. Just believe in Him. I will forgive you. I'll give you life. I'll set you free. Isn't that what He's saying in all this word? Jesus came to free you from your sin and from judgment and from condemnation. He came to save you from defeating yourself. He came so that you can become. Father, we thank You for this word and the power of Your Spirit in it and through it. And thank You, God, that You came, that You so loved, so we can become and accept love and be love. That we can love You and serve You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength and love our neighbor as ourselves. Oh, God, You came, and we're so glad You did. You've let us become the people of God, free in Your Spirit. You put us here to be in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you for being here.